This week on Earn More Tutoring, I talked to Seth Perler about how he formed his own mastermind groups to get closer and closer to achieving his goals, how he saturated himself in inspiring content to grow his brand, and his Indiana Jones theory of taking a step in faith towards your goal, even when you can't see the next step.
That's when I decided to become a teacher, and that was very much not a decision. That was very much, I was living in Indianapolis at the time, and I was driving away from this work on this road called Spring Mill Road, and I'm driving on this Curry Road, and I just was smiling, and I was like, wow, I'm so happy leaving work. I'm so happy doing what I do, but it was like a deep happiness. And I was like, I want to serve kids for the rest of my life. Like that moment, I just knew.
All right. This is Earn More Tutoring, the ultimate education entrepreneurship show. I am here with the legend, Seth Perler. Seth, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sean. Awesome to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. So to start off, if someone's living under a rock and isn't aware of anything going on in the world, can you tell them about what you do?
Yeah, that's a tough question. It depends who asks me, what do I do? Last night I met some people and we were talking about that, and I didn't know, I knew that one of them was a teacher, but I still didn't know if they knew what executive function was. So what I do, I wear a lot of hats. If I'm first meeting you, I'll probably say something like, oh, I work with kids, usually middle, high school and college kids that are struggling in school. You know, and that's kind of just a vague umbrella term. And then if we're talking more than that, I might say I'm an executive function coach. And then 90% of the time, they're like, what the heck is that? What is executive function? So I say, oh, executive function is how the prefrontal cortex of the front third of your brain helps us to get things done. So if we have to, you know, plan a trip or write a paper or get to work or get ready for bed and do our bedtime routine or clean the house or whatever, the brain has to do a lot of things to execute. It has to plan, it has to organize, it has to prioritize, it has to pay attention and concentrate, it has to resist distractions, it has to task initiate or get self-started so that you know, we're not procrastinating and we have the quote motivation to do the thing that needs to be done. So anyhow, executive function helps us to get things done. And I am somebody who my entire life, I've struggled with executive function, with how do we do these things, especially when you're resistant, because the kids that we work with who struggle with this stuff, the main thing that I think a lot of people don't do is address what the heck is the resistance all about? What's at the root of that? So anyhow, I enjoy the challenge of being an executive function coach, but I'm also a speaker. I'm also a vlogger. I create YouTube videos every week of my life, and I speak to schools. I speak to parents, parent groups, and I work with kids and parents and families individually and groups. So I wear a lot of different hats. Oh, and then as we were talking before we started, I have a executive function online summit called TIFOS, the Executive Function Online Summit. And so I do a lot of different, you know, coaching, consulting, speaking, blah, blah, things like that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the thing that got me started on your work, which is probably an access point for a lot of people, is the vlog or the vlog, you know, the weekly videos, just helping people understand what executive function is, what are their biggest challenges. Can you tell us a little bit about how that started and how, you know, would you say that's a main, I mean, of course it's a main part, but like, since you wear so many hats, like take us through like, what are the things if, you know, you had to strip it down to just the most important things you feel you need to continue doing, like what would be the top three, you know, that you feel are your greatest? I mean, you have a lot of value adds, so I'm curious to know from your perspective what they would be.
So I'm gonna answer this question in a very circuitous way, but I'll answer it so that those of you listening, I think this will be a satisfying answer for you, because this is opening Pandora's box. So basically, the thing is that I did struggle a lot. And when I say struggle, I mean, I suffered as a young person. And I am what you might call the wounded healer archetype, or I am, you might have heard the term, we teach what we most need to learn, things like that. I'm somebody who is like a lot of people who are in whatever field they're in. They do it because there's some element of it that they're really passionate about because they've sort of unlocked some keys to it. And so I do what I do because I want to serve. I have this deep, deep desire to serve. I want to serve humanity. And this just happens to be the thing that I believe I was born to do, or whatever, but that is my mission or my purpose, or however you, whatever words you like to use around that. But, you know, I feel like I have work here to do on this planet in this blip of a lifetime. You know, how long am I going to be alive? I might die today. I might die when I'm 80. I might die when I'm 100, but probably not much past that. And, service in some meaningful capacity is very, very, very important to me. And this is what I like to do. So I preface everything I'm about to say with that, because when I started this business, I was a teacher for 12 years before this, and I felt like I wasn't able to serve in the capacity that I felt this incredible desire to serve during this blip of a lifetime. I felt like it was holding me back from being able to do that. So I wanted to do my own thing. Everything, when I answer like what the three things are, there'll be it's with that service in mind. Now, the complication is this. I don't care about money. However, I need it to be able to live and serve more. So in answering your question, like what are the three things, it would be, how do I make enough money to make a good living, to continue to serve, have a great life, and serve at a really an immense capacity. So the things that I would do would be continuing to create content through YouTube or podcasts. And I would continue to do one-on-one or family coaching, because the most fun thing for me to do is work with kids and see them experience change in their life, and work with parents and help create change. So that's what's really fun, is getting to know somebody and really helping them figure it out. So I would be doing, you know, one-to-one or something that's really where I'm getting to know people, because that's super fun for me. That's what fills me. And then three, as far as, you know, I could say the summit, but I honestly, I wanted to do the summit for 3 to 5 years. And the purpose of the summit was I really wanted to get the term executive function into the lexicon in a meaningful way. Like now it's kind of tossed around. When I first started it, hardly. And it's not like this, I'm not taking credit for this by any means, but that is my intention, is to help get it into the lexicon. And I figured it would take 3 to 5 years. We just had our third year. So now at first people weren't really, it just wasn't out there that much. And this isn't even very long ago, but now it's definitely way more out there. People talk about it, but they don't really necessarily use the term any meaningful way. So that word is very important for me, meaningful. But hopefully in a couple of years, it'll really be, people will use the term in a more meaningful way to drive how they serve kids. So, but I probably wouldn't choose that as one of the things. I probably would choose courses. So I would continue to YouTube or podcasts. I would continue for free and give to the world for free. I would continue to work with individuals, and because that's fun and it's meaningful. And I would continue to make courses, because you can teach people a lot, and that's a great way to pay the bills. But it is not easy. And the term passive income is very, it's not passive.
So a couple things came to mind while you're talking, and thank you so much for breaking that down for us, those top three. I know that's probably not easy to do. The first one was when you're talking about like that thing, you know, I think the word that came to mind was vocation, because I took Latin for 2 years in college, and it's like vocation is like vocals, like what you're speaking out into the world. But it's like, you're literally speaking, you know, what is executive function? How do you manage it? You're vocalizing it into the universe. And then it came to your summit, right? Where you were trying to bring it to the lexicon, and you've done that. You know, it's funny. I was sitting with my wife this morning, and we were like kind of tired, you know, I had to go to work and everything. And I was like, what are you most excited about today? And she was like, nothing. I just want to finish work. You know, she's excited. She loves her job. Don't get me wrong. When she hears that, but anyways. And then she said, what are you most excited about? And I said, I'm talking to Seth Perler today. She's like, oh, who's that? And she's in a totally different field. So she wasn't aware. I was like, how do I even explain this to her? He's like the Michael Jordan of executive function. And I think that made sense to her, but you can take credit. I mean, I appreciate the humble, but you know, yes, you've brought that to the forefront. I didn't know what it was until I started following your work. And now I feel like I have a relatively comprehensive understanding of what executive function is, how it's important, and how to support students who struggle with it. So thank you, I think, from all of us.
Yeah, you're welcome. And it's not simple, you know, and people right. really do want simple strategies, tips, and tricks. And while those are strategies are so important, and that's why when I answered your question, I had to preface it with like, there is this service component. When you ask me this question, I'm filtering, how can I serve as much as I can before I die? So those are like the three things that I would do, and just off the cuff. But you know, this stuff is, it's complicated, where you learn a good bit about it and then it starts to gel, as opposed to like giving you a linear definition. So yeah, it's good. I'm glad you're excited. And the one hand, I don't take credit for any of the results. I just am going to keep putting, thank you for saying that, but I'm just going to put the energy out there and just serve. That's the part I'm focused on. Yeah.
I had another guest recently, her name's Kat Norton, and she started teaching TikTok videos on how to do Microsoft Excel, right? So she took this really kind of dry subject and then made it very entertaining and engaging. And when we were talking, it came down to like, She had this amazing kind of story where she said, I haven't told anyone about what I do. I literally get people every day, like 15 people reaching out to me, like, teach me about Excel or come speak to my company. She's like, and she's traveling around the world, just basically she runs her course and, you know, contributes to the online community she's created around it. But it's not passive, but it's more passive than showing up to a location each day and working, right? And when we really got into it, I was like trying to understand how she created this. She talked a lot about how she like focuses on her energy, how she thought about what she wanted to manifest. And it reminded me of you, because I know you talk a lot about coming from the heart, you know, and putting out that positive energy. And then just hearing you talk about the importance of serving and less on the money. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you cultivate that mind state? Because I think for a lot of people listening, they got to pay the bills, right? They're like, I'm trying to figure out how to pay my bills and teach, or, you know, pay my bills and tutor. How do you balance the need to make money, you know, to be serve yourself in a way, but also to serve others and really tap into your vocation or your calling?
Yeah, for me, it's almost not a choice. It's like, it's like it chose me. Like, I'm just driven. I just know. However, that is not a good answer for people listening. So I'll tell you some things that I do and did that really helped me. First of all, when I became a teacher, I had already gone through, I had failed at a college, dropped out of a second college before failing out. I almost failed out of high school. I mean, I struggled since first grade. Kindergarten was the good grade. But like first grade, my progress report started saying lazy, does not pay attention, daydreams, and unmotivated and these sorts of things. So I really, I was a bright kid. I just did not know how to get things done and how to comply. So I, in the context of the system, and how we're being evaluated, I often, you know, look like a quote failure. But I started internalizing that and feeling like I was a lazy failure. Those were two of my inner critic, inner dialogue terms that were my go-tos. You know, I'm a lazy failure. I can't do it. This is stupid. Why do I have to do this? I don't care. Nothing matters. So that was sort of my mindset, you know. And then when I'm like 22, I start turning my life around and then deciding that, I guess for me, it was very much things I couldn't have planned. Like I got a job working with kids by accident because it was a job in the newspaper that was hiring and they hired me. And I had worked at summer camps and been a counselor and stuff like that. And with my cousins and family and I always like kids, younger kids and just teaching kids things and being camp counselor or whatever. But this job is where I really fell in love with working with kids. And I was like, wow, there's just like these kids have needs, you know, that we can help them. So anyhow, that's when I decided to become a teacher. And that was very much not a decision. That was very much, I was living in Indianapolis at the time. And I was driving away from this work on this road called Spring Mill Road. And I'm driving on this Curry Road. And I just was smiling. And I was like, wow, I'm so happy leaving work. I'm so happy doing what I do. But it was like a deep happiness. And I was like, I want to serve kids for the rest of my life. Like that moment, I just knew. So I'm very lucky in that sense that I didn't have to think it. So that doesn't help people because you can't recreate that, you know. And for a lot of people and for a lot of my business, it's not like that. Like I do have to take risks. But in that moment, so for those of you listening that are like, well, I don't know what I want. Don't worry about that. That does not matter. Do not let that hold you back. But the practical things that I did was this. One was I made a vision board. And if you don't know how to do that, you can look it up and make a vision board. Two, I made a vision journal. I just got a cheap composition notebook. And every time I would have a thought or a question or I would hear something, I would make a page in the vision notebook. So I would write in the vision notebook, who is my ideal client? And I would write in exhaustive detail, like what would like the ideal person who I'm working with be like? Who, what is my ideal day? What is an ideal day working with people like? What is an ideal day off? What is an ideal week in my life? What is an ideal month? What is ideal pay? What is ideal retirement? What is ideal, just everything, just writing it out. And I am not at all trying to say that if you write this stuff out and make a vision board that some woo-woo magic is going to happen. And I mean, it is the grind after that. But what it does do for us, and I do believe in the power of manifestation and the power of intention and prayer and whatever you call it. And if you don't believe in any of that, that is fine too. Just it, doing this stuff is tremendous because it forces us to get crystal clear on what really matters. As opposed to what we often do, which is have some vague idea of, oh, I want, like, imagine a kid saying, oh, I want to be a common one you might hear. I want to be a fireman when I grow up. Okay. or you might hear a kid say, I want to be a lawyer. Like, do you have any context for what that means? Well, no. And as even as that also, we often will make career shifts or life shifts and not really contemplate the totality of what that means. So to me, the vision journal was such a key element to articulating things that I valued. And you know, like, for example, when I was talking about the lexicon and the executive function being in the lexicon in a meaningful way. The reason I can articulate that is because I've written that out and really thought about it. Like, why the heck am I doing this thing? What is my purpose for doing this summit? What do I want it to do? You know, and there are lots of purposes, but that's the core. And that comes from that sort of vision journaling type thing.
Yeah. Well, and then it's like, right. So you have that, you find that vocation, right? Or you're identifying that. And then how do you balance wanting the thing that gives you the most, you know, joy and purpose and you're serving the people you dream of, but also, you know, making money, you know, getting the dollars.
The thing was that when I stopped teaching, which was in 2010, so May of 2010, when the summer started, I had been How do you balance that? I did not have much money. I was a teacher for 12 years and my teacher retirement was dismal. I just was like, what the heck? Like after 12 years, like this is it really? Like, how do you live like this? So anyhow, I didn't have much. And I knew that I had about enough money to live about 6 months or so, and I didn't have kids or family, and I was willing to really just, you know, my family was like, you got a substitute teacher, you got to have income. And I was like, no, I don't, because if this is going to work, me creating some business, I have to put everything into it. I can't be doing that. And I'm really glad I did that. Now that's not right for everybody, but for me, I was willing to do that. And I had two clients at like $50 an hour at the time. And that is not a living, you know, seeing them like once a week, once or twice a week or something. And I was running out of money. And by December of that year, I was like, if this doesn't turn around, I am done. I'm going to go work at a restaurant. That was my thought. But I was okay with that because I was like, if it doesn't work, I'll just go get a restaurant job. So after 12 years of teaching, that's where I was because I was not going back to the classroom. And I can tell you how that turned around if you want, because that's an interesting story too. But basically, the way that I balanced it was I did anything. I stopped watching pretty much anything on TV. And like, I really focused my time, and I'm a very unfocused person, but there were a few things I did. One, at that time, Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek, had recently come out. That was a fairly new thing, a couple years old. I had that on audio. We used to have those little iPods, and I had that on my iPod, and I walk my dog and hike and listen to that over and over and over and over and over. When I was in the car, I wasn't listening to the radio. I was listening to that book. I was listening to Seth Godin and reading Seth Godin books and reading Seth Godin's blog every day of my life, because his blog really speaks to generosity and service and unconventional ways of like things that I believed in, but I didn't hear a lot of. Like, I do not like marketing. I do not like anything that feels like I have to be sleazy or manipulative. Now I do market, and I do say, hey, got this great thing. Check it out. I hope you buy it. You know, like but my whole money perceptions were all screwed up back then. You know, I had to really change my entire, and I did journaling and visioning around my money attitude and my perceptions about money. So there was Tim Ferriss, The 4-Hour Workweek, Seth Godin. There was like a Tony Robbins 10 CD thing that I had on my iPod that I listened to over and over. And then I started listening to The Smart Passive Income with Pat Flynn, and which was a podcast at the time, which was brand new at the time. Like, I started right when that podcast started. So I would listen, and then sometimes some other podcasts, like a guy named Chris Tucker and whatever. But I was like, do I go back to business school? Do I go back to school for like business school? I'm so glad I didn't. There's actually a book, I think it's by Josh Kaufman, called The $100 MBA. That helped me a lot. I just like went everywhere. And there's a lot of bad business advice out there, but there's a lot of good advice out there too. And so I just like dove in and started chipping away. And just, I really had that focus on service. I am going to serve if it kills me. I'm going to figure this out, unless I can't, and then I can wait tables. But I'm just going to try and try and try and see what happens. So I built a little website, hired some guy. I was living in Boulder, Colorado at the time, and hired some guy, and he came over and we would start building the site. I started making really just horrible YouTube videos. I started making little blogs and just trying. And there's something that there's a quote by Paulo Coelho. I'm going to botch the quote, but something about, you know, when you put your energy into the universe responds. I really believe that. But again, for those of you that are atheists and don't believe in any of that stuff whatsoever, do this stuff anyway, because there's something about getting concrete about these things and putting that energy into the world, and the universe responds, you know?
I feel like you're speaking my story in a way, because I write down my goals, like, and one of my goals, like a year and a half ago, I was like, how am I going to get Seth Perlin on my podcast one day? You know, how am I going to talk to this guy? And it's like, when you listen to the podcast, when you think about it all the time, like you said, when you listen to the Tony Robbins and you're listening to Smart Passive Income and the 4-Hour Work Week, when you're kind of like steeping your existence and you're just not going to give up, right? You know, somehow the doors open, you know, and I've actually, well, I won't go into that right now. You know, I think there's a lot of science around it too, right? It's like your executive function is so focused on that goal, that vision, and the universe, like, you know, it helps you, right? You start to notice things and opportunities that you wouldn't have picked up on before unless you had really articulated and verbalized those goals.
Part of the problem was, so again, yes, I focused on it and I'm not a focused person, but what that means is every time I'm in the car, I'm listening. Every time I'm reading something about this stuff, whatever. And so I also think that it's important to, this is shotgun method, you know, like I didn't know anything that would work. So I'm going to tell you I love little theories. So I have a theory that I call Indiana Jones theory. So at this time, and this is in my vision journal too, I'd be like, this is like Indiana Jones when, so basically what I'm doing here with Indiana Jones theory is I was, I'm living in Boulder, Colorado, and I'm living in a place called Pinebrook Hills up the mountain, 2 miles. And it's this beautiful mountain place we were renting. And I had this entrepreneur roommate. Okay. This is part of sort of the magic that happened. Like this guy moves in, his name is Alec. We're still friends to this day. And we're both, and he's this Scottish guy. We've become great friends. But we're both like working in this house and trying to, he's doing his thing, but like just being surrounded by people who have that sort of, just sort of open-minded entrepreneurial type spirit. So we are working. You got to surround yourself with people who are doing the things that you're doing. My word of the year, I also do a word of the year. My word of the year that year was yes. And then it was yes for like 5 years. I just said yes to everything. My friend Jason, he was like, oh, I have this ticket to this conference called the World Domination. Do you want to buy it? I can't go. I'm like, sure. I had no idea what it was. I end up going to the World Domination Summit in Portland, Oregon, which ends up being a couple thousand like solopreneurs, micro business owners. And this is the following year. And oh my gosh, Sean, it blew my mind. I'm surrounded by a couple thousand people who are doing crazy, weird businesses in all kinds of niches in an effort to serve world domination is how we dominate by serving. Like it's a really positive thing. But I'm like, that put me over the edge in my confidence to be like, if these people can do it, I can do it, because they had such crazy things that they had made businesses out of. And so it's important to put yourself around people. Now, the people who are listening who are resistant, which is like me and probably you, Sean, are sitting there saying, yeah, but I can't go to the World Domination Summit tomorrow, or social media marketing world, or there's so many like, or it's COVID and we can't do anything, whatever so make a meetup. And I can't make a meetup. Well, that's another thing I did. I made a meetup. I made meetups. I called the Slackers Club. And we would meet at coffee shops and chip away on our different, some of those people are friends of mine to today. And then we made mastermind groups. Some of those people are friends of mine to this day. I've been in many mastermind groups and I start them. I don't wait for someone to start it. I say, what do I want in one? And then I create it. And some of you are like, but I don't know how to make a mastermind group or a meetup. Neither did I. I didn't know how to make a website. I didn't know, it's like that. That's the thing, is that I am willing to do things I don't know how to do and see if it works. So the Indiana Jones theory is this. There's a scene where I think Sean Connery was Indiana Jones's father and he's dying. And there's like the Fountain of Youth goblet on some side of some giant abyss cavern. And he has to go get it. But in order for him to get to this, he has to walk over this giant abyss with like flames and fire and volcanic lava down below. And the bad guy in the movie is like, you need to go get it. And Indiana Jones has this little book in his hand, this ancient book that shows that he just has to like take this. I think if you look it up on YouTube, it's called Leap of Faith, Seen Indiana Jones or something. But he has to take this leap of faith and like step out over the cavern. And there's no path. There's no bridge, but the bridge comes up underneath his feet. He takes the first step. The bridge comes up. He takes the second step. The bridge comes up and he's on solid ground. He goes and gets it, comes back, saves his dad, whatever. But that's what it was like for me starting this, is that when, before Sean and I started today, Sean wanted to talk a lot about the summit. And I didn't want to go so much in that direction because I think it's really, and this is something that Seth Godin, if you want to follow him, talks about, is to, and this is something that I want to inspire kids to do, is to do things that might not work. Do things from generosity, from your heart, from your soul, from the core of your being, and know that it might not work. Take that step out and the universe will put up a stepping stone underneath you. You'll be fine. Take another step. So I would take these steps. I would start a meetup. I would, you know, emails. I had never been on a podcast and I was on Jennifer Gonzalez's podcast, but like you, I was like, I don't know how to be on a podcast. I'm going to email her or email some people and ask, you know, and was I scared to click send on that email? Yes. Was I scared to publish YouTube videos? For years, I was scared every time to click publish on a blog. Oh my God, the whole world's going to, nobody cares about my blog. Nobody. I mean, the only people that read it was me and my mom for God knows how long, you know, like, but I would take the step and try something. And there are many, many, many things that did not work and many things that did, but I would take that step over the abyss saying, might this not work? And that is one of the most important things I want to tell anybody listening. People, because I do business coaching as well, and people will ask me, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? And I do have concrete answers that I'll give people, but most of my answers are like, of course. Yeah, try it. But blah, 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 blah. So, but is it the best? I don't know. You cannot know. And when we do that, Sean, and I'm sure, and I would like to hear your experience on this because I'm guessing you could affirm this. But what happens is when we start to take those risks and take those steps and take those, the leap of faith and try something, try a webinar, try a summit, try, you know, a new program, try a 6-week program, try one-on-one coaching, try podcasting or YouTubing or whatever. And there are so many moving pieces and it's so, and sometimes we fall flat on our face and it does not work. And we spend a lot of energy and you can sit there stewing in it, right, Sean? Like you can be like, oh my God, I wasted all this time creating this thing. This does not work. I wasted all this money, blah, blah, blah. But it gets you to the next thing. And then some things do work or an element of something works. So let's say with your podcast, I'm sure you started one way. You've had, what, 35 episodes now? Now you do it very differently. And you know things now that you wouldn't have known had you not done those first 35. And you just didn't know until you dive in. But I had to start trying things and just seeing what happens. And the step comes up, it meets you, you figure out an element of a thing. You're like, ooh, this whole program stinks, but this one element, people really need it. It really helped people. They love it. I'm going to develop that one element into this type of thing. And it gets you where you're going. And your business will, and it, to me, if you have a heart of service, your business will tell you the direction to go. So you might think, oh, I'm going to create this educational consulting business or coach educational coaching business or tutoring business or this or that. But the feedback from your people, from your failures and successes will tell you where to go. And to me, it's a very spiritual thing. Like it will guide you almost like when you go bowling and then they pull down the rails for kids and it bounces left and right, back and forth. You know, so it doesn't ever go in the gutter type of thing. That's kind of what happens here. It's like you bounce, and it sort of guides you into the universe will tell you, hey, the world needs this right now. And you are a vessel. You're an instrument who can bring this. Don't stop. Don't give up. You know, so do you have that sort of experience as well?
100%, actually 150,000%. So it's like, I'll give you an example of it just that came up yesterday for me, was I've been trying to learn affiliate marketing. Like I feel like I talk to so many amazing people like you, like Karen Tui Boys, for example, who I recently had on my podcast. And I see all these great people putting out these great products that I would co-sign, right? Like I was an affiliate for your summit because I believe in what you're doing. And I'm like, okay, well, how do I do affiliate marketing, right? Like I was trying to figure it out, you know, and I'm like, this is really hard. I'm investing a lot of energy and time in it. And I've probably spent 20 hours like creating emails, like sending them out, like, you know, planning all that out, like working with people to get their links and set, like, it's a lot of work, right? But yesterday, one of my my speaking engagements at Karen's event sold and I got $12 and I was like, this is a sign from the universe. I was like, I'm on the right path. You know, she sent me an email. She's like, here, you can go buy your family ice cream. And I was like, yes. You know, like, and for me, that was like the most, you know, I've made way more money in other ventures, right? And doing other things. But to get that $12 after like putting in the work, trying to figure it out, because when people were saying affiliate marketing to me 2 or 3 years ago, I was like, what the hell is that? I have no idea what that means. How does it work? And now I'm starting to get it, you know, and I'm starting to understand how it works and how to do it in a way that feels good for myself and my audience. So just to your point, like I definitely understand what you're saying.
And did you find that that your business took on a life of its own and that the universe told you what it needs to be? Like, and again, I'm not trying to be too woo-woo, but like,
you know, podcast, absolutely. I mean, the feedback, like the, you know, my business used to be called, my other business used to be called like Sean McCormick Coaching. And then the more coaching I did with kids and the more relationships I developed with neuropsychologists and lawyers and people that were seeing the need, I realized like the real thing that I'm providing is not coaching. I mean, it is coaching, but it's helping kids manage their executive function, right? And then and then seeing what you were doing too and like realizing, wow, there's such a big audience for this and I can play a role in serving families. Like I have the background. I have a, you know, a master in special education. I've got experience teaching, but I never knew that the words, you know, like really the way you describe what you do and you speak about it really impacts how people find you. So that feedback kind of, you know, and being involved in the community, like to your point about the world domination thing, like I just got back from what's called Camp Financial Independence in San Diego. And I was like in my tribe, right? Like it was so fun to be around people like that. And I had been wanting to do that for years. So I totally also agree with you about like, go out there and engage with people, talk to them, like learn about what they're working on. Maybe that's going to shape a little bit what you're working on. Like the community is so important.
Yeah, I went to FinCon, which is financial bloggers, and I am not a financial blogger. I don't ever want to be, but I'm horrible with money. So I'm like, I want to see what these, you know, and it's so helpful. You just, yeah, you immerse yourself. And yeah, there are some other things, directions I want to take this, but where do you, I do want to get more practical for people today as well.
Yeah, I think people are sitting there right now and they're saying, look, I have a few clients. They're kind of in that place where you were, where you had, I think they're, a lot of them probably have a fuller, you know, caseload as far as I know. But they're like, okay, look, I'm spending every day coaching and working with kids. It's great, but I'm exhausted. Like I have skills. I have something I keep offering to every set of students. How do I turn that into a course? Or how do I turn that into, you know, a mastermind group? Like what are the first steps I take?
Okay, great. So essentially a lot of people who are listening are exhausted because they're spinning their wheels too much and they want to figure out how to make more money with a more sane life, serve more, but be really, no, they don't want to get burnout.
Exactly.
So I, like I said, I didn't go to business school, but I will tell you that I have done enough work on my stuff that I could have a master's in business because I've done so much research and execution on different things. So there's some things that I would say is when you're driving or walking the dog or hiking or whatever, and you would normally be listening to the radio or watching TV, if you're not where you're at, if you're not where you want to be in your business right now, cut out the fluff, the TV shows, the radio, whatever, and use that time to listen to Sean's podcast. Fantastic stuff. Interviewing fantastic people. Many of these people I know and have had on my summit and I know personally and I know well, who do completely different things, like saturate yourself in other podcasts that you like, in books on tape that help you, or tape, audiobooks, or, you know, that with self-development, whether it's business or personal or whatever, but just If you're not where you want to be, do not get distracted by the noise. Like every moment that you have where you're doing, you know, again, like just radio or stupid TV shows or something, like put on something in the background that helps. So that would be the first thing that I would say. And that goes along with surround yourself. If you can't afford because of time or money to go to summits or conferences of weird, bizarre, bloggy things and like the things like the financial one that you went to, I'm interested to hear about that. And but then create your own meetups. Go on meetup.com, go on Facebook groups. It doesn't matter if only two people show up. Those two people might end up being some of your best friends for years to come. I was trading cryptocurrency in 2017. I was living in Los Angeles and I knew nothing. So what do you think I did? I literally made a meetup on meetup.com that still exists to this day. And it was an amazing group. So just be creative. And as my assistant, Danny, says, I have an amazing assistant named Danny. And she says, get scrappy. We were doing our summit this year and we were having some problems with certain things. And she said, get scrappy. And it's like, that's what I do well. Like, and I just like totally changed my mindset. Okay. Yeah. Let's just saturate yourself in people, content, and surround yourself by inspiration, because you can do this. You can get your life where you want. Now I say that and I'm like perpetually overwhelmed, but but I love it too. And I'm not complaining. Next thing I want to say is learn to scale. So whether it's with a summit or a course or a group or this or that, learn to scale, and in scaling, get out of the hourly mode. So if you're doing an hourly thing, do you do hourly, Sean, with your educational coaching?
I do. Yeah.
So my encouragement to anybody would be figure out how, and I can't explain that in this podcast, but to research how there are plenty of people that talk about not doing hourly ever again. I don't know the right search, but don't do hourly ever again. I occasionally will do it, but it's very rare. But if somebody wants a one-off, I really don't have a lot of time for one-offs right now, but you know, I might do a little bit of hourly, but it's so time consuming to do the billing for hourly stuff that it's interrupting you being able to serve. Pick a program, do a 10 pack, I do a semester at a time, because for me, that's what I need to like start getting some, you know, just to start digging in with people and really getting some progress is about a semester to get started. And I've worked with people for up to 5 years. But figure out how to construct it so that you can start scaling. So don't do hourly anymore. And then you can scale with things like, you know, books. Books don't usually make people a lot of money, but books, scaling with programs, online courses. And then don't sell yourself short, you know, like your online program, you don't have to start with a $19 online program. You can start with a $300 program, a $1,000 program, like figure this stuff out. Like, and when you do this, like create value. I try to create everything I do. I go above and beyond. Everything I put out there, I have to, in order for me to lay my head down at night, I have to be able to say, oh, this thing is worth this much money. Like I went above and beyond. I created it. I made bonuses. Like I really try to make something that's, and if you look at the package, if you go to executivefunctionsummit.com and you look at the package for the All Access Pass that I created, you can all just see that as a model, and you can buy it because it's fantastic, but you can see it as a model, and you can see my goal was to make it that people were like, wow, this is a no-brainer. There is so much help here, but it's not overwhelming that we can't consume it because I don't want to do it. So there's a balance, but learn how to scale. So that's the next point is scaling. The next point has to do with the first point with surrounding yourself. I do want to talk more about masterminds. There is a magic that happens in masterminds, and you can do paid ones. You can do free ones. I don't really care. I create my own and they're free. But there is a magic that happens when you have four or five or six people. And like when I said that Slackers Club, that was like my first mastermind. And that was just at a coffee shop, but you guys can do it online. And you're dedicated to holding, what's the term, holding their feet to the fire? Is that the accountability?
Holding you there. Yeah.
But you all meet every week or every 2 weeks or once a month or whatever, and you talk about what you're going to be accountable for, and you ask them for what you need help with, and their brains put together are better than yours, you know, or at least that's my experience. And it is just magic. So start a mastermind now. And that can help you with the specific questions you would ask me or Sean. Do it in the mastermind. Next thing I want to mention is, I'm going to go back to the Indiana Jones theory. So I had two clients and I was like, this isn't working. What do I do? And I got scrappy. And what I did in getting scrappy in that time is it was December of 2010, November or whatever. I believe I had some vlogs and blogs in my site, and I'm like trying to figure it out. Meanwhile, one of the things I did, Sean, was I had, because I was no longer a teacher, I had boxes of files and papers and drawings kid had made me, and letters from families and letters kids wrote me, and lesson plans. And I went through every single thing in my life, and I let go of a lot of stuff. And because I felt energetically, again, not to be too woo woo, but for the, you know, there might be a lot of people who like the woo woo. I like the woo. Energetically, like decluttering that stuff was very important for me. I was seeing a therapist at the time, and I was walking out of her office, and there was a book in Boulder called, it was like the Boulder Psychotherapist, whatever. So I pick it up, and there's like a couple hundred psychotherapists in this book. I wrote a little script. I was so nervous, Sean, when I started doing this. I wrote a little script. It was about a paragraph long. And I called these people, and 99% of the time it was an answering machine. And I said, "Hey, what's up? My name's Seth." And at the time I called myself an education coach, not an executive function coach. I didn't call myself an executive function coach until a couple of years later. At the time I was like, "Hey, this is Seth, Seth Perler. I'm an education coach here in Boulder, and I work with these type of kids. Love what you're doing." So I would look at what they do and specialize in, and this resonates with me or whatever, and let's get coffee or let's get a meal or whatever. I called about 150, and I'm telling you, I was nervous. And when I say nervous, I mean, I think I avoided it for like 2 days. Like I had the script and I could not pick up. So for those of you, again, that are paralyzed by clicking publish on a YouTube video or a podcast, were you afraid to publish your first podcast, Sean?
You know, I think with the podcast, I wasn't too afraid, but I still get anxiety, or not, I don't know what the word for it is, but I'm like, should I send this email? You know, like even if it's like I've given a plan to a parent or whatever, you know, there's always that I got to do it.
So I want people to know you're going to have those type of feelings, you know, do it anyway. And I called these, took me a couple of days, and I called them, and I'm saying, "Hey, this is Seth, blah, blah." Called about 150. And I had this book all marked up. I had, you know, writing who picked up, what day I left the message, if they responded. And about 30 or 40 of them replied. And I ended up having coffee or a meal with about 30 or 40 of these people. Of those people, about 10 of them started referring me, but 3 of them started referring me all the time. And I learned who my best referral source was, because it turned out that all 3 of those people did the same type of thing. And now, after all that energy calling 150 people, getting it down to 3, but knowing who in the future I would put all my energy into researching people who specialize in what they specialize in, that was priceless. And then that was like the turning point for the business. Now, when I say turning point for the business, again, you got to remember that I had hardly any money. This is now December. It's January. I'm starting to get clients. I'm barely paying rent, and I'm barely paying rent for a long time. And that's and this brings me to the next thing. So what I just mentioned to recap was the scrappiness and just being creative about, if you're looking for clients, figure out a creative way. It doesn't have to be what I did, but get scrappy and figure out creative ways. Then, what started happening is you have what's called the hockey stick effect. You know the hockey stick effect?
I do not.
It's this sort of graph that starts, imagine a hockey stick laying with the tip pointing up, but on a graph, on a long graph. My growth of my business was very, 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 very slow. And then eventually it starts to take inertia. And people say, I've heard people say things like, you can be an overnight success in 10 years, stuff like that. That's pretty realistic. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't be like, I've been doing this for 3 years and I'm exhausted. I don't give up. I mean, you can give up if you want. It's not, for some of you, it's the right thing. You know, in your soul, it's the right thing to give up and to change chapters or gears. But for most people, I would say, you got this. I'm telling you, Sean, if I can do this, anybody can, because I am, again, my struggle is real, but I am tenacious and I care about what I do. So that drives me, but I will try anything. So I wanted to mention that hockey stick thing as well. Be patient. Like, it's not overnight success. The world needs you. And if you know that you love to serve in a certain way, you're going to figure it out, but you got to be. And this is what I was saying before the interview that I wanted to mention, Sean, is my risk tolerance with ADD. I am willing to try anything. You know, the reason that I do podcasts, that I YouTube, that I speak in schools, that I do all these things is because I'm willing to contact schools and be like, hey, love to do this with you. You know, I will put myself out there and I'm willing for it to fail. So that is hard, that risk, but don't give up. So the hockey stick, be patient. The next thing I want to mention, and this is a specific way to get scrappy. So if I wanted to be, let's say I wanted to be on Sean's podcast, I would not send Sean an email. I would send Sean a Loom. Now, before Loom existed, and there are other things besides Loom that you could do, what I would do is, I remember I was trying to be a speaker on a conference that I was like, I love this conference. I really want to be a speaker on this conference. And I wrote them a couple of emails, and then there was like no response. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a YouTube video and make it unlisted. And which means that only the people that you send it to can see it or something like that, but it's not like a public video. And at the time there's no Loom. So I made this YouTube video and I'm like, I want to be on your, and cause you can see my energy. Like Sean can see me right now. You maybe hear it in the audio, but an email, it's hard to convey that energy, but I'm a passionate person. So I send this YouTube video. At the time I had to send the YouTube link and I was like, this is what I do. I love your conference, blah, blah, blah. And then they wrote back and they were like, you had me at executive function, like that from that reference from that movie. So Loom is one way to do that. So I when I want to do something nowadays, and I do have like podcasts or conferences or things that really excite me and I really want to be on them, I send them a Loom and I'm like, hey, I'm Seth. I love what you do because of this. And, you know, I know you're busy, but let's try to connect on this. So and then my last one, Sean, this is, and we, you know, feel free to dive deeper on any of these, but my last one that I want to mention to you all, is models. If you are trying to create a course or a program or a weekend boot camp or a jumpstart boot camp or a day long boot camp or a 2-hour program or a 90-minute program or a massive flagship course or a book or this or that. I love models because they allow a person to conceptualize what you are doing. And here's what I have to tell you. All of you listening have your own models. Now, some of you are like, I know that, Seth. Some of you are not saying that. I didn't know that I had my own models. For example, I talk about the dip model. My dip model is this. The model is that I noticed after years of working, you people listening, you are good at what you do. You have noticed nuances. Sit down with your vision journal and write down every nuance that you've noticed. Write down every time you hear a question from a parent or a kid, and you've heard that question a million times, you better write that question down. Because if you've heard something a million times and you have a response for it, that's a piece of content, that's a course, that's a program. This is an area where you have a gift from the universe. You have skills to help people have a transformation. Excuse my language. Get your shit together around that thing and figure out what the elements of the model are. Now, the thing is for me with ADD is I would just kind of ramble. Like, I knew how to respond really well to these situations in the present, but I had to kind of remove myself to say, Seth, what are the elements that I'm regurgitating so easily and so artfully that I'm able to help people experience transformation? What are those elements? And I would have to draw and write models. So you can look up models of psychotherapy right now on the internet, models of education, models of this and that, and start looking at how people do models. There are all kinds of different shapes and images and ways. But think about what are those questions that people always ask you? Those are the things you need to make models for. So the dip pattern is like this. I've seen this thousands of times. So what happens is the kid starts a semester, they start strong. They're all excited. They're like, I got this, mom and dad. And then for the first 2 weeks, things actually seem to be pretty decent. Then things start to fall apart. They start to go into the dip. They start to get, and this is what I can ramble off because I know this is a model, but so phase one is strong start. Phase two is the dip starts. And the dip lasts is in the first 6 to 8 weeks is what happens as they start. And this is what I'm going to rattle off. They start to have a lot of missings, incompletes, late work, zeros, test corrections. How did I just rattle off those five things so quickly? Because I've heard it a million times. It's a pattern. It's part of a model. Okay. Strong start, missings, incompletes, late work, zeros, test corrections, blah, blah, blah. And then now they have to swim upstream because 6 to 8 weeks in, like clockwork, parents figure out, oh my gosh, you told me you were doing fine. You said, leave you alone. You said, stay off my back. I've got this, mom and dad. Stop bugging me. You're so annoying. Like, I've heard these things so much, Sean. I can it's like, I know what parents are going through. But then they see the kid's got a bunch of F's and stuff, and then they start swimming upstream. That's the third phase of the dip, swimming upstream, digging themselves out of holes, trying to deal with the missing work, the late work, the blah, blah, blah. And then the last 3 weeks of the semester, I call Hail Mary, because this is now where you not only have current work and loads of makeup work, and it's so overwhelming, but now you suddenly have final exam, what I call Pepper is another model. And this is just a stupid acronym I made up because the final 3 weeks in Pepper time and Hail Mary time, you have long-term things that I call Pepper, and that is papers, exams, projects, and readings, which is long reading assignments, like, or very deep reading assignments. So at the end of the semester, you have final papers, final exams, you know, and exams can be tests or quizzes, but this is my model, P-E-P-R, Pepper. Like, it's just a stupid acronym, but it's the pattern. It's what it encompasses, what happens in those last 3 weeks. And so I wanted to just point out one model. And I have ones where I talk about what people need. So I talk about they need a foundation, then we need to implement the foundation, then maintenance. That's just a model of change. I talk about it in three phases, blah, blah. But I have to give people an idea of how are you going to help your kid? Well, you have to have a foundation, then you have to implement it, then you have to maintain it. Here's how long it takes, blah, blah. People have that question. And so I have a model now that I can explain, that I can show them imagery of, whatever. But that is the last thing on my list as we were talking today. So I want to talk about scaling, want to talk about hockey stick, want to talk about masterminds, surrounding yourself and immersing yourself in the things, you know, and getting rid of the clutter in your life so that you can immerse yourself in where you want to get your business, and getting scrappy, using Loom, and then models. So those were some notes that I just was like, okay, I want to share those with you. So let's take a couple more minutes and we'll wrap up. But that was a lot, Sean, but I hope that for people taking notes, that I gave some, you know, earlier, some more overarching principles and theory and stuff. And now hopefully some more specific, actionable stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And just seeing the way you like, what an incredible skill. Like, I wanted to ask, like, you know, I gave you the question. I know what the burning question of my audience is because they reach out, you know, and we talk about it. But for you to be able to break it into such like a clear pathway with steps that people could be like, okay, I'm focusing on this step. I think I've graduated. I'm going to the next step. How did you do that? Were you just taking notes on your, like, what was going on there?
When you were asking the question,
yeah.
I have this piece of paper here. So when you were asked, so part of my ADD is I know that I forget things. And I tell my students this, like, so I have a Sharpie and a sticky note, a big sticky note. And as you were asking the question, because you set up the question for a minute, what came into my mind, I jotted down and then I sort of riffed on it.
Yeah.
And this is just what teachers do. You know, I just haven't, this is like my lesson plan where I have my points that I wanted to cover. And then I recapped it at the end.
Yeah. I just didn't see you like look away once. I was like, do you just, because I've noticed in your videos that they're so clear, right? Like, it seems like you're hitting these like key points. I was like, is he like, does he have bullet points on something? Or
I'll tell you my secret to that. Okay. So right now, Sean and I are on a Zoom call, but you're not going to see the video of this because Sean said you wouldn't, and I just woke up. And but we're on a Zoom call, and I have my screen side by side. So, and I have it large. So I have me on the right and Sean on the left. So that's how I have my screen. Now, what I will do is I will make the screen when I'm doing my YouTube videos, let's say I'm doing it on QuickTime or I'm doing it on Zoom or where, if I'm doing a screen share, I might do it on Zoom or wherever. I make the screen so that my image of me is like a teeny tiny box right underneath the camera for my, I literally make my YouTube videos on my laptop and I have a little box of me right under where the camera is. That way I'm looking into the camera. And then underneath it, I have a Google Doc with my notes. So I have like an outline where I want to take the listener during that time. So I have basically, I start off with, here's the problem I'm going to address. And then here are some thoughts that I have. And I have that outline in like probably, I enlarge my screen, the document to 200% on Google. I'm giving you really nitty gritty, but I enlarge the document to 200% on Google Docs. And then I enlarge the font to probably a size, like 18 font or something. And then I just use bullets, but I just have point after point that I go through. So like I'll get an email from somebody or some family will tell me about some problem and I'll be coaching a kid and I'll be like, ooh, that's a really great piece of content. I want to teach, you know, the nuances of that. And so then I sort of figure out what are the elements I want to cover. And I'm sort of going through that outline as I'm speaking. And then I have a good mic for it, but that's the gist of why it looks so seamless and smooth. And I've made, you know, hundreds of videos. And I'll tell you this too, Sean. So I don't edit and I don't know how to edit. I've done it before, but like, it's so clunky for me. I don't care. I care about my heart getting out there and not about having polished editing. Although I want to hire an editor for my videos soon, but I care about the message. So you have to pick what's important to you, you know? And I will do one take. And I cannot tell you how many times, I'll cuss again here. Like I'll be like recording and I'm like 7 minutes into the video and my brain completely has a brain fart and I go, shit. And I'm like, I'm recording myself on video. I'm like, shit, what, where was I? What? And then I'm like, now I got to scrap the whole video. and then I start re-recording. I have re-recorded videos just where my energy wasn't right or something. I've re-recorded videos 5 or 10 times, many, 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 many times. So I just want to again reiterate, like, it's so important to be willing to not have things go your way. It's okay. I want the energy to be right in my videos. I know when it's not. Now I can do one take pretty much always, but that took so much messing up to get there. And you don't have to do one take. You have to be willing to be clunky. If you look at reverse chronological order at my first videos, my first 3 or 4, like they're not horrible, but they're like, I am not proud of them, but they got me to, it's like your first day of teaching. Oh my gosh. And you know, you just have to press on. And
I appreciate you sharing that. Cause I always watch your videos and I'm thinking, is this edited? Because it's perfect. Like, there's no ums, there's no...
How is
because it's a straight verbal delivery, pretty much. You know, sometimes they're like up to 20 minutes, and I just could not. I was like, what software? He must be the best video editor. But no, it's a straight performance. This is like Marlon Brando status. You know, every time you've recorded it five times, it sounds like you've got it on point at this point where you don't have to re-record. But that is awesome.
Thanks for saying that. I mean, it's hard work. And again, I in no way during this interview or ever do I downplay my weaknesses. I have tremendous weaknesses, tremendous. But that's what I love about my work with kids is that they have incredible strengths. And one of my strengths is I can articulate really complicated concepts in a really digestible way for kids, for third graders, for preschoolers, for fifth graders, for high schoolers, but also for adults on the YouTube or when I'm speaking to audiences or whatever. So that is something that I'm really good at, is articulating that really complex concepts. So thank goodness that I didn't just say, oh, I'm going to leave teaching and I'm done with this and I'm going to, you know, give up on working with kids. This is so important to me, but I'm going to go find some other career. Like, I just want to reiterate to everybody, whatever your strengths and weaknesses are listening, you polish those strengths because people need you.
What piece of technology is helping you run all this? You know, or like, what do you recommend technology-wise? It sounds like you keep it relatively basic with, you know, your laptop and your microphone, but like, what do you recommend for people who are trying to, you know, scale up and grow their businesses? What has been helpful to you?
When you're starting out, and if you don't have a lot of money, what I'll say is this, is spend the money that you don't have and the universe will help you. So I have a nice mic. It's not that expensive, but it's not a $20 mic. That's really important to me to have really good audio. My boom stand, I just bought a $100 boom stand and I returned it and I went back to my $20 boom stand because I like my $20 one better. So, but don't be afraid to spend money. Like, if you're looking for cheap things, like get an expensive computer that does what you need it to do. Get expensive software that does what you need it to do. When you're struggling, because I remember being like that, like I started spending more money than I thought I had. And so that's what I would say about that stuff. Now, having said that, like one piece of technology that I would say is if you're doing courses or anything like that, the video is fine. The audio is what's really important. Get a good mic. That would be one piece of technology. Other than that, you know, financial stuff, I've used all different billing softwares. I've used all different, you know, but I use Google Docs. I use Google, I use Calendly. I use Google Calendar. I love Google Calendar. So yeah, I don't have a lot of strong opinions on that, except for maybe don't shoot yourself in the foot by being cheap, because you'll end up being frustrated and spending more later and get good audio.
What's the biggest challenge you're facing in your business, your message right now?
Email. Don't email me. Just kidding. Email. I mean, that is one of the problems of growing, is that people have legitimate needs. I don't have enough bandwidth to do. And it's hard for me because I get emails from people who are really suffering and I literally do not even have time to reply because there are so many. Or, I'm doing your podcast. I like what you're doing. For those of you listening, I think Sean's really, I really think Sean's awesome, or I wouldn't be doing this. Cause I get a lot of requests for stuff like this and email. So that is the hardest thing in my business. So as you grow and people want more from you, you get pulled in a lot of different directions. People want me to talk in different places and do programs and create this for them. And I got an email or a note on a YouTube video the other day that says something like, you should re-record this so that it's shorter for my 9th grade son. Because it's like, really? Like, you know, I'm not going to redo the video for your son. on YouTube. So there's just people pulling you as you be very intentional as you grow, because people will pull you in many different directions. And I am not necessarily good at saying no. And, you know, and then I, to my own exhaustion, you know, and I'm learning that really just where and how to say no, but it's hard because you know you can help people. And so I think that's the biggest challenge for me is the just not having enough bandwidth to be pulled in all the different directions. And like, I don't, when I'm done with you today, I have a student and then I have another student and then I'm going to be working on email. And I don't want to be doing that. I want to be building, I want to build out a college course. I want to, I'm going to start making my YouTube videos into podcasts also, eventually when I get to that and I'm redoing my website. Like I have other things to do, but I have to deal with a lot. So that's my biggest challenge is email.
Couple hot seat rapid fire questions. We got a minute? Three?
Yep.
Yeah? Okay. First off, Apple or Android?
I actually use an Android and I love Apple computers, and I'll probably get that new M1 iMac, which has a better camera. And but yeah, I like my Android. I don't like everything that Apple does, and I do feel sketched out by stuff that Apple does with privacy. And I don't use the iCloud or the Time Machine backup or things that just kind of don't feel as, and I'm really worried about kids nowadays with how much information they put out there. But Android.
Favorite movie?
I don't know, but the first one that pops into my head is The Princess Bride. That is probably the single, that is the movie that I have shown to kids more times than ever, because I love teaching writing. And it is, when you talk about elements of story, and it is just like such a brilliant, it's got such beautiful metaphor and beautiful storyline. It's quirky. It's fun. Like, so Princess Bride is one of them.
Best album?
Probably the one that comes to mind right now is Led Zeppelin 3.
Yeah, do you play? I see the guitars there. Yeah? Cool. Best Amazon purchase in the last 6 months?
This mic here. The Shure MV7 USB-C, so that I don't have to have a complicated... like I don't want to run my mic into a board or whatever. I don't even want to learn how to do that. I just plug it into my laptop. And so, yep, this mic.
Self-care activity of choice?
Well, playing guitar or anything social with good people. I don't care if it's masterminding, having people over for dinner and doing a potluck, doing a music circle and playing with people. But yeah, going to the beach, anything with people.
And last question, if a book was written about your life, what would the title be?
Well, in my website, I have a thing called Autobiography of a Struggling Student, but probably have something to do with the term daydreams or daydreamer. Because that was really one of the big labels that seemed as a child to be, it seemed like the perception of daydreaming was that it was such a bad thing. Seth daydreams in class. And it is like the biggest gift of my life is my imagination, my creativity, my daydreaming. You know, like that is such a, it is not a bad thing. It is a great thing, you know, and it in the frame that it's bad, daydreaming is bad in like on report cards or whatever, the implication is this is bad. And it's like, no, it is good. It is magic. It is what empowers me to create a fantastic life, to serve humans, to, you know, to live a good life. So maybe it would have to do with that word somehow.
Seth, I'm so grateful for your time, energy, everything. I'm listening to this over and over. Where can people go to connect with your work?
SethPerler.com, ExecutiveFunctionSummit.com. That's where the summit's at. And you can buy it anytime, or you can sign up for next year and it's free. And my YouTube channel. So that, I don't even know what it's called, Seth Perler Executive Function or something. I changed it recently. So YouTube, and you can just Google my name and you'll find podcasts and Seth Perler podcasts that I've been on and stuff like that. But on my site, if you sign up on my SethPerler.com, I send out a weekly update and I'll send out my weekly vlog and any events that are going on and stuff like that. So that's the best place. Probably subscribe on YouTube and the site.
Do you want a copy of the book I most credit with helping me earn more tutoring? It's called Clockwork, and I'm giving away a free copy each week to a lucky listener. All you have to do is leave a review of the podcast, take a screenshot of your review, and send me your review to info@earnmoretutoring.com with your address. I'll randomly select a winner each week. I hope you got value from today's episode. Please subscribe, reach out with any questions or ideas, and join our email list by going to earnmoretutoring.com. This show is written by Sean McCormick. The show is produced by Casey Sticker and Sean McCormick. Music production is by Casey Sticker. Our marketing and project management is done by Maya Pugach. To learn more, go to earnmoretutoring.com.
So for everybody listening, yeah, support Sean, subscribe and share his stuff around, because that's how people find out about Sean.